recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Welcome back in. Hour number 3 of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porter with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it is that time of the week. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, what's going on, my friend? How we doing?
Oh, just counting down the minutes till we can stop asking if David Poyle is going to make a trade.
Well, let me ask you right now, is David Poyle going to make a trade today?
If he does, I think it's really minor. I don't think he's he's been very loyal to a lot of his players in the past. And, you know, he stuck by these guys a little bit longer than most of us would have and said he wanted to see more. And they rewarded him. And I can't see him messing with them because we're beyond the point of saying they're hot right now. They're not hot right now. This is just the way they play now. Their goalie's red hot, but as a team, this is the way they play now. This is who they are. And so I don't see how you can with a straight face tinker with it.
I think with a straight face I say, well, it's been a heck of a run here. I hear what you're saying. You're right. This is not just, I mean, they've overcome a lot of stuff. They're playing. This is how they play. But I think what you say is this is still not a cup contender. And if
I
we're
agree
going to,
with that.
Go ahead.
No, I agree with that.
But there's no but.
No, I agree.
All right, thank you, Corey.
No. I agree. They're not necessarily a cup contender. But in 2017, did we think that team was a cup contender? No, we did not. We thought they were going to be one and done in the playoffs. You just don't know. The LA Kings got in on the last day and went all the way to the cup. So you just don't know. And there are a lot of teams, mainly in Canada, who would love to get to the playoffs every year. And I don't think that you can cast that aside. I don't think you can. If you were to tinker with this team and then they missed the playoffs, if it fell apart after you did it, that would be tough to live down. And look, I'd love to get a second-round pick or a first-round pick for Mikael Granlund. Believe me. I mean, you need those pieces. I totally, totally get it. But at the same time, what's their record now in the last, 13, 14 games?
12-3.
I can't look at these guys and saying, yep, we're going to break you up. We're going to break you up. You know, because they are beating Dallas. They were totally shorthanded against Tampa. And look, Tampa's a Stanley Cup champion. So you're going to lose to them sometimes. I guess there is a but. But you never know. You don't know. Because if you get by Tampa, Carolina, Florida in round one, then all bets are off.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So Corey, to that point, I mean, this is almost like two separate seasons for the Predators in the way that this has transpired. How have they been able to do this, and how much credit do you personally give the young guys who have come in, not only for the way that they've played, but maybe for the energy that they've instilled with this group as well?
Well, Robbie, that's a huge question. It's a huge question because I know, I've asked some of the guys, how much credit does John Hines deserve? Because we're giving all the credit to these young guys for injecting energy. And I think it's a combination of those things because I think, we had a lot of guys here who got really comfortable with the way things were. And those guys came in and completely sold out. And I forgot who reported it, so I apologize because I'm shorting them. The conversation that he had with Luke Cunningham when he was coming back from injury,
yep,
and basically told him, you're going to play this way, or you're not going to play because I've got other guys who are willing to do it. And has Luke Cunningham been a completely different player since he's come back?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he has. And largely because the whole team's been hurt, each one of these guys who comes back from injury is kind of a different player. Ryan Johansson has even been a little bit different since he's come back. And I think these guys see the writing on the wall that there are guys waiting in the wings to play instead of them. And I think that competitive juice has elevated some of these guys. So I will say their effort level on the ice maybe has been contagious, but I think the competition and fear that it originally instilled has now created more energy and more, what did John call it, a spirit for the game. Because they look like the team. I mean, I've been here since 2003, and they look like they look like a Barry Trotz team now. They look like a team that comes out and plays hard every night.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, it's been, look, the guys in the locker room, you know, deserve a ton of credit. And it's possible that if you were to tinker with it, especially as banged up as you are, you could make it go the wrong way. It's also possible that you roll with this, don't make it, and then there's a whole bunch of second guessing in a few weeks. But I
That's
hear what
true.
You're saying. So let me switch gears with you, Corey. TSU, Eddie George, your reaction?
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm stunned. I'm flabbergasted. I first saw the stuff about it on Thursday or Friday. And I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it. And, you know, I've had a relatively close relationship with Eddie for a long time. And I shot him some messages, and I haven't heard back from him. And it's not that I don't think he can do it, because, I mean, Eddie, I guess this is my whole point. He's done so many things. He has so many interests. And being a college coach is so life-consuming. I'm going to be interested to see, you know, how he jumps into that and how he handles that and how he embraces that. It's interesting from a TSU standpoint because it adds some voltage to a program that's largely, you know, looked over now. And everybody will be watching to see how he does, and not just on the field, but, you know, the decisions that he makes, you know, the prominence of the program. Can he elevate? Can he help them raise money? You know, Rod Reed talked about it yesterday, that the financials are a huge burden, you know, for them. So the challenges are many. And the concern that I have, you know, for him, because I want him to succeed. I do. But, you know, being a college football coach is different than being an NFL coach, or being, like, I say, like Jason Kidd, when he became a coach, like, instantly in the NBA. You don't handle a budget. You don't handle recruiting. You just roll out a ball for 12 guys and kind of point them in the right direction. And I know I'm oversimplifying an NBA head coach, but when you're comparing it to the two, when you're like a college football coach, you're like running a corporation. And there's a lot that goes on there. And I'm sure he knows this, and I'm sure he's preparing, you know, to handle it. And I hope he enjoys it. I think that's the number one thing. I hope he enjoys it because there's a lot that goes into it. And TSU, like most FCS programs, that's a tough job. That's a really tough job. And, I'm excited to see how he does. I'm excited to see the staff he puts together. But nonetheless, stunning. I mean, completely out of left field.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And, Corey, we were talking about this earlier in the show, too. Like, I have no idea exactly what kind of a coach he's going to be and what the X's and O's are going to look like, the system he's going to run, all that stuff. But you know this. I mean, just from his personality and thinking back to his playing days as well, you know that when he speaks, people are going to listen. And I just wonder how much that voice and that charisma can carry him as he tries to get his feet underneath him and take over what you said is going to be a challenging job coming in here to TSU.
Well, you know, I think he can be a lot like Mike Vrabel in that, you know, look, I know Mike, you know, tinkers with everything and he's in on the defense, but I look at Mike Vrabel as a very good head coach because he's a very good leader, okay? He's a very good point man. You know, people can rally to him. He's unmistakable. Okay, he's there. Everybody sees him. Everybody hears him. He is He is a lightning rod in the ground, and everybody knows he's there. And I think Eddie can be that kind of head coach. You know, like Mike Ditka, okay? Mike Ditka, you know, was a galvanizing, centering force, all right? And I think Eddie can be that kind of guy where he is the leader of the group. And if he hires good assistants, you know, he can lead them and have the game and played in his vision. And again, that's not to say that he can't coach, because we don't know. We haven't seen him coach. But his personality, I think the strength is towards leadership. Lou Holtz used to always talk about cars in the ditch and who's going to get out and push. He can be a guy who can get everybody out of the car pushing together. And then it's putting the rest of it together.
So just name a defensive coordinator and tell us why. And that's all you got
to do. You mean to have an actual good reason?
Yeah.
I like John Robinson's reason. Well, continuity is a good thing. Yeah, not necessarily. He did a great job. He's a good coach. He's, you know, he had some things go against him last year. Continuity is a good idea.
And then, Corey, looks like the stash is going to be in the mix as well. Jeff Fisher, I guess, as a consultant on this staff. That fires me up.
Whether it fires you up or not, it's always good to surround yourself with people who've been there and people who know. And it doesn't sound like Jeff's going to have an overwhelming position, but, like, you know, he'll be like the godfather. And, look, there's a reason that NFL head coaches hire veteran coaches to be their assistant head coach quite often. And they need an ear to lean on. I mean, like, don't you think that Arthur Smith is going to lean on Dean Pease?
Oh, yeah.
Who's been coaching for a long, long time. I mean, that's what you do. And that's what smart people do. They put people around them that they think are smart and respect so that they can lean. Doesn't mean they're going to do everything they say, but it means they listen to everything that they say because they've been there before.
Corey Curtis from News 2 has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Corey, great stuff as always, my friend. Appreciate you taking time to join us.
All right. Thank you very much. Oh, by the way, I want to give a shout-out to Rob Reed.
Yes.
It was a tough press conference yesterday. That guy has dedicated his life to that school. And, you know, I want to say he deserves better. At the end of the day, we all have to win or lose. Okay, I understand that. But there's a good way and a bad way to go out. And I just, for him and what he has dedicated to that university, I would have liked a more graceful honorary exit.
Agreed, and I thought he was about as classy as you could be yesterday handling that as well. So a great point by you.
Absolutely. Corey Curtis joins us every week here at 8 o'clock here on Robbie and Rex Road. When we come back, we will get back into the Nashville Predators. Look back at the weekend that was for the Preds.
What did we learn about this team? What does it mean as they move forward here now with trade deadline day in the NHL? All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Roope Hintz, his first shootout attempt of the year, moves in through the left circle, and the save made by Saros, and the Predators win it. It goes down as a 3-2 victory as the Predators embrace goaltender Juuse Saros after this win over the Dallas Stars.
Here, Ryan, obviously the results on the ice speak for themselves, but just from your vantage point, how much different is the vibe with this group now than it was, you know, 3.5-4 weeks ago?
We're vibing, Robbie.
Nashville Predators are vibing, baby. Winners of 12 out of their last 15. They win last night against the Dallas Stars 3-2 in the shootout. As we heard there from the illustrious Ryan Johansson, described it beautifully. We're vibing right now.
We're vibing, Robbie.
Thank you.
Robbie and Ryan.
Yeah.
Vibing.
Vibing.
Robbie and Ryan.
What do we think
vibing
that means? Vibing pretty well, huh?
Vibing, I don't know what I mean.
Man, I know what it means, but like, what do you think that means for the future? They're just going to continue to vibe here?
I don't know.
Can you break up the vibe?
I think you can. Maybe you do if you trade someone today.
We're vibing, Robbie.
Oh, man. Gotta love that guy. Another goal in the shootout last night for Ryan Johansson as well. You were there to witness it in person. And what did you think of that one?
Perfectly respectable shootout goal.
This one was respectable. The other one's not so much.
Well, right. The ones where you stop.
He didn't
and
stop.
And wait for 5 minutes. Yeah, that shouldn't be allowed.
Jeez.
Sorry.
I'd say the one that Yarncroke tried to pull off last night was worse than what Agreed.
What you hate, yeah. Joe.
I agree.
I will say I didn't like the yarn croak approach. Like, I'm going to skate all the way over here, and then I'm going to go all the way over here, and then stop and get stopped. But it wasn't.
Great description.
Thank you. It basically did a figure eight. But it wasn't like just skate really slow and then stop and stand there and then shoot, which should not be allowed.
Johansson, a little bit of a different approach last night in the shootout. He came in. He had a little speed to start with. I was like, whoa, where's this going? And then hits the brakes. I was like, okay, we're settling back into the routine here. And then just fired it. I think he he totally took Anton Hudobin by surprise. Hudobin was ready for him to slow it down, and he was going to try to wait him out and see if he could wait out Johansson. And Johansson saw an opening. He took it, and that was the only goal in the entire shootout. Roman Josi obliterated a post right after that, and Joe Pavelski did as well for the Stars. But the only goal in the shootout, Ryan Johansson.
Yeah, it was very good. It was exactly – I mean, my favorite guy to watch in those shootouts is Forsberg, because he comes in and it's just pick a spot and fire. I don't know how he compares to Johansson, but I know that
pretty good.
It's much more aesthetically pleasing. And also, Saros now has not allowed a goal in 8 attempts in the shootout this
pretty
year,
good.
Which is kind of crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
To not – I mean, I know 8's not a lot, but still, like, to not allow one?
It's pretty good. Well, you talk about a guy that we've talked about. He's not the biggest guy. Like, you're trying to go – and roof it on him. And in fairness, I mean, Pavelski beat him yesterday. He hit the post, though. It's not part of the net. You got to hit the net. So Saros has been really good in the shootout. He was good once again last night, not only in the shootout, but the entire game. I thought last night, Joe, a really important response. You know, you look at the game on Saturday against Tampa Bay, and Tampa, I mean, they're starting to figure some things out now. They didn't have Stamkos in that game, and I don't think they're going to have Stamkos tomorrow night either against the Predators. It looks like he may be back or at least close to coming back when they return back home. I think they're playing against Florida at home later this week. So it looks like Stamkos not going to be in there tomorrow against the Predators as well. I thought the Preds Saturday played well. You lose 3-0 and you're frustrated, I think, by the final score. But I thought 5-on-5, they played really well against the Lightning, to the point where, you know, I think you're encouraged by that. Like, there's no such thing as, like, a moral victory in the NHL. But the Predators were very positive after that game. I mean, they were not discouraged. They didn't talk about, you know, what a tough loss it was. They were pretty encouraged by the way that they played. And I thought it was important to respond to that against Dallas in a game that was huge. I mean, you look at the standings right now, and Dallas still has 3 games in hand on the Predators. But you get that done last night in the shootout. You're at 47 points, Dallas at 41. You've got a 6-point cushion. Like, just think about what it could have looked like if you lose that game in regulation. You're talking about then a 3-point gap between you and the Stars. I mean, it's a massive swing last night to get that win.
Oh, no doubt. And I agree with you on the Tampa Bay. I mean, I think arguably that's the best they've played against Tampa Bay this year with – a totally just gutted lineup.
Yeah.
And some bad luck, and just the bad luck of running into Vasilevsky the way he's playing. He's so good right now. But I think there was a lot to be encouraged by. And then you wonder, okay, but then the next night, can you come back and put it together for really a bigger game? And they did, and they figured out a way. I mean, there were times in the third period last night where they just looked like an exhausted team.
Yeah.
They were hemmed in on that one possession. That was just
I need to go
endless.
Back and get the official time for that. I mean, it was at least a minute and a half, right? At least.
I mean, it felt like 8 minutes.
Yeah.
And, you know, the penalty kill, too. The penalty kill was huge last night. And there was the one in the third period. They were really on the ropes and exhausted and figured it out. And Saros figured it out. And, you know, he was better last night than he did not have – many, if any, like, whoa, saves. But he was just so good. And I think Hal Gill made the point of the postgame show, like, there are some plays, some saves he makes because of his anticipation that look routine, but actually they're really not.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate texted in, should Janot's new nickname be the Hulk? He looked like it last night. Tanner Janot throwing people around. He hit Alexiak twice and just dumped him. I mean, you're talking about a guy, Alexiak's 6'7", I want to say 255, 260, somewhere in that neighborhood. And Trennan and Janot running around last night just crushing people.
Yeah. No, it was fun to watch. And it's amazing when you – you know, when you bring that up about Alexiak, that also he, by the way, he skated through the entire team at one point. That was actually might have been Trennan right there.
It was Trennan,
yeah, who needed to pick him up. But that fourth line is, and again, they don't have Olivier right now, but those guys are they set a tone, really, I think, for this team, and they set a tone that hasn't been settable. In recent years, they haven't. You know, the Preds we know well. Like, you bring back a Cody McLeod because just to have a guy like that,
right?
You gotta have someone who can skate and play hockey.
That's the thing with these guys. Like, they can play.
Yeah,
like
Trennan is really good.
He's good. He gets a goal last night. Janot, he's got 21 points in 13 games at the AHL. He's just lighting it up at the AHL. These guys can play. So that's really encouraging to me. If you're like. I'll be honest with you, like Tanner Janot is not a guy that I've thought about as being a part of the Predators' future here. I mean, he is, and stock is rising this year, and it's one game last night at the NHL level, I realize that. But you're talking about a guy lighting it up at the AHL level, proving that he can come in and give you some valuable minutes. I mean, what did that fourth line end up with? 12 minutes last night, roughly, in the ballpark there? Like, obviously, John Hines trusts that line right now, and I thought a really impressive response by the Predators. And as I said, just to get those points and to continue to extend that cushion from you and the Stars is crucial. And they've got, you know, next week a big stretch coming up too against Chicago where you're going to play them three times in a row. I mean, those are massive games coming up for the Predators. So a big response by them yesterday. And now the question becomes, what does it mean in terms of the decisions that David Poile and the Predators are going to have to make today? The NHL trading deadline at 2 o'clock. What do you think the Predators should do? We'll get back into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I think that, you know, Monday comes and goes, probably with Nashville being a quiet team that we don't hear a lot of noise around, unless it's a small deal with Granlund or a small deal with Arikala, I don't necessarily see Nashville as making the big splash. Now, this can all change if someone calls David Poile and knocks his socks off for a deal for Matthias Ekholm and Philip Forsberg or Ryan Ellis or whomever. But I don't know that I see that happening in a flat cap universe right now.
That was Jeff Merrick from Sportsnet on with us here on the show last week talking about the trade deadline and how that could look for the Predators. Coming up today, the deadline at 2 p.m. Central Time. So not a whole lot of time left for the Predators to make a decision on which way they're going to go. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Speaking of the Predators, make sure you're tuning in this hour for your cue to call for a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Predators take on the Tampa Bay Lightning tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena. We'll have that cue to call coming up a little bit later here in this hour, so make sure you're tuned in for that. Also, do want to pass along some breaking news this coming here locally. A shooting suspect is reportedly on foot in the Stonebridge subdivision area of Leeville Pike in Lebanon. So that's according to police. All residents in the area should stay locked in their homes until further notice. So if you are in that area or you know of people in that area, make sure you pass that along and make sure you stay locked in your homes there until the police get this situation resolved. So wanted to pass that along. That's all over the news right now. So, Joe, looking ahead at the deadline coming up today, the question that I have is what should the Predators do at today's deadline? They've complicated things. It was going in a clear path that we've talked a lot about over the course of the last month. And then you roll off 12 out of 15 wins. I mean, that's going to make you feel really good if you're the Nashville Predators about the trajectory that you're on. And that is the subject of today's poll question at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. Preds fans, what do you want to see the team do before today's 2 o'clock trade deadline? Do you want to see them sell? Do you want to see them stand pat? Or would you like to see them buy? 267 votes are in. 45% say stand pat. 43% say sell. 12% say they would like to see the Predators buy. So very close between sell and stand pat. And a little bit of buy in there as well.
The pure trolls called the 12%. Come on. Who are you? Are you a Blackhawks fan? Are you a Blues fan?
I think there are some Predators fans that have seen enough, to Corey Curtis's point. They think this is what they are now and would like to see them go out and buy a piece or two. Not a huge one, but to add some depth.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not saying that I agree with it. I'm just saying I think those opinions exist.
Yeah, well, that's true. I've heard that Pred's Facebook is interesting.
Yes.
Would this be like a Facebook-Twitter crossover?
Maybe so.
Doesn't like Pred's Facebook.
Oh, it's a rough place.
Mike Fisher saw on the team and stuff.
There are some, that's for sure.
Quite a crew. It's very interesting to me that Stan Pat is beating Sell.
I thought so too.
That was not the case
when we asked a similar poll question like a week and a half ago.
If they stand pat and either don't make the playoffs, or if they even get blown out in the first round, some of those people will be second guessing themselves.
Well, that's an interesting question, because I want to throw that out there to you and to our listeners. You can let us know on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Let's say, for the sake of this discussion, the Predators don't do anything today, and they stand pat at the deadline. Granlund's still here. Hall is still here, and they're taking a run at this thing to try to make a run in the playoffs. Like, how deep of a run would it take for the Predators to make for us to believe, okay, well, that was not a mistake. Like, they were right to leave this team together. Because obviously, like, to me, if they're out in the first round, I think it's pretty easy to look back at the deadline and say, well, you probably should have gotten some assets for Granlund or some assets for Hall, whatever way you want to slice it. But, like, what is your cutoff point? Like, is it a run to the Western Conference Final? Is it second round? Like, how deep of a run would it take for you to believe holding on to this group and holding on to these assets at the deadline was the right call? I mean, you have some people that will say they got to win the cup, and that's it. If you don't win the cup, it's a waste of time.
Well, yeah.
And I think that's a little extreme.
I don't know. I'll say this. If they get in and they give you a good – like, if they got in and they played Tampa Bay the way they played them the other night for an entire series and didn't get swept, you know, I guess, but just got in and were competitive in a series, then I think you could still justify it with the fact that it is important for an organization in this climate, after a year of pandemic, with no to reduce crowds, with the cap going nowhere for a while, all that stuff, with wanting to sell season tickets next year and what you hope is a full arena, the business considerations can't be too far from mine, I think, especially in this league. So that, to me, it's worth discussing. Now, my counter to that, which is why I still think they should sell, is I don't think that you are necessarily tearing it all down if you sell off Mikael Granlund. You aren't dooming yourself to not make the playoffs. If you could do what you've done with all these guys missing, and you're going to get some of them back, that's another piece of information we don't know. Are these guys coming back like week to week means what? If it's 3 weeks from now, okay, well, then you may not score another goal at some point. You know, if you get rid of any players, so then you may be punting on the playoffs. And that's not ideal, because these guys have worked their butts off to get into this position. But I still think the big picture, what is the trajectory? Where are things going? How close are you to actually being a Stanley Cup contender? I hear what Corey Curtis was saying earlier. 17. People bring it up. The Kings. You get in, and something could happen, right? It's possible. I mean, the way these guys are playing, and the way Staros is playing in particular, I'd like to see them in a playoff series and see what they could do.
Yeah.
But there's some level of retool here still ahead, right?
There's got
to
be.
There has to be. So if you get a good offer today, I think you have to take it.
Well, and the question is, like, what does the retool look like? Could the retool be as simple as, hey, a lot of these young guys are going to be playing. Like, that's going to be the permanent decision here in the lineup is – Matthew Olivier is going to be a permanent player. Tanner Jeannot at some point is going to be a permanent player. We know about Tolvanen. He's going to be a permanent player.
Trennan.
Carrier. Like, maybe that's part of the retool here is these guys, the future is now for these guys. They're going to come in and this is going to be the new core that you try to build around. Obviously, with Yossi still there and Forsberg still there, got a big decision to make down the middle between Johansson and Duchesne coming up and how that may factor into the expansion draft. But
I mean, who are your top six forwards?
Right now?
For the future. Maybe Tomasino gets in there, I guess?
Yeah. Tomasino's in there. Tolvanen's in there.
Is Cunning part of your future?
He is not a top six forward. Not to me. Like, I think he's a good third line guy. Like, I don't anticipate Luke Cunning being a top six forward on a team that's got a chance to win a cup.
See, the whole thing is there's a lot to like a lot about the young guys and what they've done. And, look, you still feel great about core players like Forsberg, obviously, like you said, Yossi. I mean, Ekholm, if you're keeping him, we think so. I mean, it really comes down to, okay, well, if all that works out well, the young guys keep progressing. I mean, Arvidsson, I think, is a question still, too. But is Saros this?
Yeah.
If he's this, then okay. Then I can see it being awfully good.
Yeah.
Is he this? And, I mean, listen, maybe some people would jump all over me for saying, what are you talking about? We watch him every night. But, come on. I mean, early this year, I mean, we wrote him off. I basically did.
They put up a graphic yesterday on the broadcast, and it kind of highlighted – I don't remember exactly how many games it was, but it was through like mid-February, and he had an .886 save percentage. And now, I mean, his total save percentage is it's a .930. I mean, it's been incredible, the run that he's been on. But it's not – that's the thing. It's not been just strictly that way. Now, we're getting to the point now where this is more than just a hot streak, I think. I think he's playing really well, and I think it's fair to ask, has he figured something out in his game – that has allowed him to be more consistent?
Exactly.
I think that's a fair question. And if he has, that's a great sign for the Predators moving forward. I'm still not yet willing to go there that this is absolutely what Saros is moving forward.
Right. I mean, and there's another reason why it would be potentially beneficial beyond the instant gratification of making the playoffs.
Yeah.
It'd be good to be able to see him in a playoff series against a really good team.
Gator Z on Twitch asks, is there a point where David Poile sits down Hines and Yossi specifically and goes with what they believe? So I guess talking about the deadline today, asking Yossi and Hines what they want to do and then going with that. My guess would be no. Like, probably more so with Hines. He probably factors in that decision. Like, I think they've gone down this route before of leaving it up to the players and wanting – you know what Roman Yossi's going to say. Keep this thing together. Let's go.
Yossi, we got to get Mikhail out of here.
Yeah. Like,
come on.
You know,
I want more young guys. Let's all rookies. Come on.
You don't really need to have a conversation with Yossi. Like, you know what he's going to say. Hines is interesting. Like, I kind of feel like right now, if I'm John Hines, I would say we've won 12 out of 15. I've been preaching this the whole time, and now they finally bought in. This is what we are. Like, that's probably what I would say if I'm John Hines.
Have we not earned this opportunity? Look at how many guys are hurt, what this would do. And if you're John Hines, you basically have brought Mikael Granlund back to Minnesota-type levels of play.
Yeah.
Which is, he was far below that with Laviolette. So I think if you're Hines, like, you'd like to have Granlund in your lineup. So
he loves Granlund. Yeah.
But I don't know, I could be wrong. I would think Poile is basically talking to people on the phone.
Yeah.
And that's where the decision is made.
Preds fans, join 102.5 The Game on Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. for Smashville Live, featuring Preds players, former players, and other special guests. You can also watch the show online via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and thegamenashville.com. Smashville Live, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. To view or listen to past shows, go to thegamenashville.com/Smashville Live. When we come back, we will continue the discussion on the Nashville Predators and the trade deadline. A lot of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well, discussing all things Nashville Predators, looking ahead to the deadline coming up today at 2 p.m. Central in the National Hockey League. Some moves have already been made. Nick Foligno to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Columbus gets back a first-round pick as the game was getting ready to take place on Saturday against Tampa Bay. David Savard traded to the Tampa Bay Lightning. First-round pick back for Columbus in that one as well. Taylor Hall on the move last night to the Boston Bruins. Jeff Carter on the move from L.A. to the Pittsburgh Penguins. So some bigger names have been moved around out there, and maybe some more to come today. We talked earlier in the show about Ryan Getzlaff. What does his future look like with the Anaheim Ducks? So going to be a very interesting next few hours here at the NHL trade deadline. And, of course, we'll keep you updated all day long here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Joe, let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Josh texts in and says, so, Joe, if they stand pat and win in the first round and lose in five in the second round, are you satisfied with that?
I mean, if they won a playoff series, they get in the playoffs, win a playoff series, given how this season has gone. I mean, okay, the question, are you satisfied with that? I still would say it's too bad they missed out on an opportunity to try to build assets, which for many years they were letting go the other way in an attempt to go for it. So short of a cup, I would say it's still like not ideal to go through this day and not build some assets back, because this is, I think, a time when they should be thinking about that. And we're not going to get prices, you know. I don't think we will.
Probably not.
We're not going to find out exactly what was offered, when, and by who, you know. And so, again, it's not just simple door A or door B. Sell or don't. I mean, it's what are you being offered back in return? Also, how important is it to make the playoffs for the organization? Sometimes that stuff comes into play. You have to take, you know, it's not just the performance on the ice or on the court or field. Sometimes business is important, especially in a year like this. And then also, what do you know about the injury situation right now? If you're going to gut this team that has worked to get into this position, knowing that a bunch of those key guys are 2-3 weeks out, I think they'd have a reason to be angry with you. I still say if you had a good offer, you still do it, but there's just so many factors involved in this, and that is a very long answer to your question.
Ryan Porth, let me ask you this question, because, I think it's easy to say, win a Stanley Cup, that'll make it worth it to hold on to the assets. But realistically, looking at this, if today comes and goes and no move is made by the Predators at the deadline, or at least no significant move, like, I'm not talking a minor league trade or anything like that, no significant move to this roster, what sort of a run will it take for the Predators to convince you that it was the right call to stand pat and do nothing at the deadline?
Well, let me kind of reverse it. If they do nothing and they make the playoffs, that's a failure of what didn't happen at today's deadline if they don't make any moves. I mean, I think it would be hard to sit here and say that if they don't make any moves before 2 p.m., then the expectation is they have to go out and beat Tampa or Carolina in the first round. I think that's unfair for that to become the adjusted expectation just because you didn't make a trade before 2 p.m. You know, Joe brought up the economics of it. You get a postseason appearance this year. It helps you. It helps any NHL team that has been affected by COVID to be able to get playoff revenue.
Sure.
I mean, they would probably have to win in the first round for them to come away from the trade deadline saying it was the right move to not trade anybody. I mean, I still sit here and say that if I agree with y'all. If Granlund is being if Poyle is being offered a first or second for Granlund, then you have to take it. You just have to. I guess the flip side to that is, what if it's Colorado offering you that second round pick? Then it's going to be in, like, you know, the 60s.
Yeah. What good does that do you?
I mean, it's going to be a late second round pick when everybody's going to say, oh, well, it's essentially a third round pick then. So I don't know if that's a reason to say no, but the value of that second round pick isn't going to be as good if it's Colorado making that call as it is if it's, say, Florida.
Agreed. No, I think that's a great point. I think you've got to factor that in. if you're David Poile doing it. It's also like trying to nail down what the value is for a Granlund. Like, Nick Foligno goes, he gets a first-round pick back from Toronto. Now, Toronto came out at this point, it's almost been a month since Kyle Dubas came out and said, yeah, we don't mind giving up a first-round pick for an asset if we feel like they can come in and help. And we want an asset that's going to be a free agent, and we don't have to worry about protecting him in the expansion draft. Like, he was very open about what the plan was. So I'm not really surprised that they've given up a first-round pick to go get Nick Foligno. What I wonder is, okay, what does that mean for Granlund's value? Taylor Hall goes to Buffalo, and he's packaged with – or from Buffalo to Boston, packaged with Curtis Lazar, and he fetches a second-round pick and Anders Bjork in that return, which is – it's not a whole lot. Like, it's not a great return for Buffalo when it comes to trading a guy like Taylor Hall. So trying to figure out exactly what the value would be right now for Granlund, I think, is difficult. And who else is interested? Like, who are the teams left that are interested in going out and acquiring a guy like him that's worth it and making that deal if you're the Predators? I mean, it's a really fascinating question, and I'm not sure exactly where his value lies at this point.
Yeah, are they, like, angry in Buffalo? I mean, they're already horrific.
They are mad. I mean, they're like a perpetual state of mad, but they were mad last night at that return.
More good news for the Sabres. Yeah. Well, again, if we're going to do the play it down the road thing here in terms of the playoffs, what if they flame out in the playoffs, but they re-sign Granlund? And they work it out to where, you know, one of the other centers is expansion drafted away.
Yeah.
They keep Granlund long-term.
It's probably worth it at that point.
So you got to let a lot of things play out no matter what happens today.
Sure. I mean,
more opinions until then.
This story's not over today. That's for sure. And even, you know, guys that we've talked a little bit less about as of late, Ekholm, Ellis. Like, the expansion draft's a real thing. Like, you're going to have to do something. My guess is you're probably going the 7-3-1 route this year, which means you're protecting 7 forwards, 3 defensemen, 1 goalie. And the goalie's going to be Saros. So, I mean, how does that affect what you do if you're David Poile? When you know you've got Favreau, who, I get it, there's a lot of, I think, Favreau detractors at the moment. He's not been great this year, but he's 22. He's a first-round pick. Like, they're not just going to abandon hope on Dante Favreau at this point. So you've got Josi, who you know is going to be protected. You've got Favreau. You've got Ellis. You've got Ekholm. Unless you're going the 4-4-1 route, or like you did last time, like, you've got a decision to make on that front. So I'm interested to see how that factors into this discussion as well. Now, I don't know if that necessarily happens today. Maybe a trade like that happens right near the expansion draft. But these are things you can't ignore if you're David Poile, and he's not ignoring them. Like, this is all factoring into the decision-making process today.
If they were to leave Ellis unprotected, would he get scooped right up?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I mean, his contract, you worry about it, I think, from an injury standpoint.
But it's not
that bad. No. I mean, it's $6.25 million. And it's not cheap, but it's not that bad. So I think if they left him exposed, yeah.
So who would they leave exposed?
On defense?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, is Favreau definitely going to get scooped up?
Yeah. I think any of those four you leave exposed, Seattle's taking them.
But I mean, you can make a trade with somebody before
expansion
draft.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
I think some fans view it as today is the day.
This is it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean, you can make a trade before the expansion draft.
Yeah, with a big piece like that, for sure. And that may well happen. This is boiled down now to the expiring contract conversation,
yes.
Right?
Unless something happens today.
Until Ekholm goes today.
Matthias Ekholm's still on the big board for NHL.com. He's a defenseman to watch today at the deadline. I'm not saying it can't happen. I think I have moved to the point where, you know, 3 weeks ago, if you'd told me Matthias Ekholm would be traded at the deadline, I wouldn't have been all that surprised. I'd be surprised now.
Yeah.
So
I would too, but yeah.
Crazier things have happened.
We've been surprised before.
That's right. When we come back.
We all had Eddie George as TSU's head coach last week.
That's right. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the Nashville Predators. Darren McFarland, host of Darren, Donick, and Chase, also handles the Predators' pre- and post-game duties for the Nashville Predators Radio Network. He'll join us next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.